We want to thank our brothers once again for leading this service so far. And I want to ask you to, don't sound too good there. Ask you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12.
Fix me.
All right. Romans chapter 12. I want to look at verse 12. I'm going to start at verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. I think I'm going to need a new headset. This one. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2. I guess I'll wait. Is it on? Okay. Amen. Amen. All right. Maybe I got used to the static, huh? So it's not working. Okay. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And we ask and invite you into this conversation on this morning. We ask that you would open the scriptures, open our understanding to the scriptures, allow us to see what you would have us to see, and allow us to know you in a more intimate way as we look at your word and as we analyze and look at our own lives according to your word. Help us, Lord, for all of us stand in need of something this morning. We're all in need of an extra dose of faith. We're all in need of an extra dose of your grace and your mercy. We're all in need of extra help, a strengthening in so many areas where we're weak, direction and clarity in so many areas where it looks like we can't even see just a little bit before us, Lord. And so we're just operating, trusting you each step of the way. Help us, Lord, not to grow weary in well-doing. Help us as we go through the different struggles and trials of this life. And there are many that are not here that maybe are watching online, Lord, and maybe haven't even been here for a while, Lord, and physically can't get up and can't get out. And we just pray for those that are shut in home, that you would watch over them, that you would bless them, that you would encourage and strengthen them in all those areas where they stand in need. Help us, Lord. Bless, guide, protect, watch over us. This is our prayer in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. I want to talk this morning on this subject of unshakable faith. Standing firm in hope, patience, and prayer. And I want to make the statement that when we stand firm in our faith, our lives can be unshakable. When we stand firm in our faith, our lives can become unshakable. You know, we're living in a season of life right now where there is so much uncertainty. I don't know if you've been hearing already, there's an uptick once again in COVID. The global pandemics, or they haven't gone away. If anything, they're predicting there may be another one in another few years and all of that. There's economic instability. You look at your housing prices, and some of you are happy, but many more are pretty upset. You know, because of the uncertainty economically, your housing prices, the price of goods, when you go and buy groceries and stuff and all that. I don't know about but you, but I'm a little bit, I need a little more Jesus after I get through the line, if you understand what I mean. Then you look at politics. You turn the TV on and political divisions, and they're tearing, you know, families, even families apart. You got natural disasters going on anywhere. What am I really saying? I'm saying that the more we look, the more we can see that there are problems upon problems upon problems upon problems in our life. And we're living in seasons right now that these problems often test even us as Christians, test our faith. You know, we know that we should be, I should be stronger and I shouldn't, you know, and I should always be thinking heavenly and all of that. But the reality is we're stuck right here in the middle of a whole lot of mess that we have to engage with. And yet we need to be reminded about the unshakable faith that is available to us. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. You know, the more you see the world crumbling around us, this gives us the greatest opportunities to let our faith shine. It shows a stark difference when everything else is on fire. You ever seen the those little cartoons and all that, and everything's on fire and someone's just sitting there in the midst of all the chaos? And usually there's a little caption, something like that, over it. But what's it really saying? You know, look, everything else is on fire and everything's fine. Everything's fine. And we laugh at that at that little comic strip. We laugh at it, right? Because we see the absurdity of, look at everything that is crumbling around you. How is it you can be so calm? How is it you can see everything crumbling around you and yet be unfazed by it? And that's exactly what we're talking about today. It's not that the Lord has promised that when we come in, it's just going to be easy and smooth sailing, that just because you're a Christian, all of a sudden, that you are exempt from the problems of this life. No. If anything, oftentimes we get an added heap of a dosage, you know, of more troubles and problems because there's an enemy on top of on our backs also that wants to pull us back. And wants to use whatever that situation is in order to pull us back into his grips. And if you don't know who I'm talking about Satan. He wants to pull us back. He wants to use that adversity in order to try to pull us back. But yet when everything's crumbling around us, this gives us an opportunity. Think about Noah building that ark. He had never known rain, never seen rain. But what is he told? He was told, listen, by God, it's going to rain. And with that, that was enough to be able to give him the strength, the energy, the power in order to fulfill something that he had never seen before in his life. Think about that. We take it for granted. Well, Noah built an ark. There was a great flood and all of that. But in his living, he had never seen that. He'd never understood rain. There was a dew that came up out of the ground and watered the ground. So he didn't know anything about that. But what he did know is God. Who he did follow was God's word and God's instruction. And that was enough. Abraham, we were just singing about Abraham right now. Father Abraham had many sons. Right? They were just singing about him, and this Abraham left the country, left his place, left his dwelling, left his homeland to go to a place that God said he had to go, but he didn't understand and know where he was going. Right? He didn't know. God knew. But he knew that God, if God told you to go, get up and go, get up and go. David, with a slingshot and a few stones, was able to defeat a great giant, not because of his power, not because it made sense even to us, but because it made sense, because God was on his side. And then, of course, Jesus himself, he comes and conquers death. And what looks like a tragedy becomes the very foundation of everything that we have. Everything that we hold, you know, as Christians, is because of what he did on that cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. And so even in bad times, look at that. Look how much good can come. These weren't easy times for them, but there were times of great faith. Faith for us, as we see their faith in action. And if we look at anything about faith, we're going to see something that is more not about the person, but about who that person is hoping on and looking to. Amen? Right? That's what gives you that faith. So let's look at this for a little bit. Now, before we get to Romans 12:12, there's like 11 other verses that came before that. So let's look at a few things, because I think it's really important. Look at, oftentimes we'll come and we'll look at Romans 12:1-2. And I want to start there real quick. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is he saying here? He's saying that there is a point that we have to come to a surrender, that we have to now be a living sacrifice. He's talking to Christians now. You are to be a living sacrifice, all right? A sacrifice in the Old Testament was put on the altar, was given to God, was killed, was eaten, was, you know, and all that. And then once it's consumed and it's all gone, guess what? That's it. Time for a new one. But he's calling us to be a living, continual sacrificial, a person that sacrifices consistently for the very cause of Jesus Christ. That means our identity is found in him. That means in our waking, we understand and recognize that now we're his. We're no longer our own. We're his. Amen? And with that, he says, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Think about that for a moment. With all the blessings that God gives to us that we do not deserve, hello, that we do not, I mean, we qualify for it, but we don't deserve them. And so because of all the ways in God has saved us, it's only reasonable that there is an expectation of us. Think about that. The more power you're given, the more there's expected of you, right? You're at a job and you're given promotion. Well, there's a different expectation of you. God has given us salvation, his son, his grace, his mercy, his love. He's given us all that we have. It's just reasonable. It's just reasonable that we give and entrust our lives to him. That's just a reasonable part of service. And then he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This shows that there's a difference. There's a world way of thinking, there's God's way of thinking. There's a world economy, there's a God economy. So, and we have to understand the distinctions and the differences between the two. And we have to recognize that we're his. We're in his kingdom. We're his children. We're his. And so, and then there's a world that's contrary. There's a worldly way of thinking. There are world doctrines and teachings and things of that nature. But we embrace, amen? We embrace God and his word. And so we're not conformed to this world. We're not going to let them dictate to us how we ought to live. Why? Because God shows us. God tells us. God's word shares that to us, right? And so in it, it's going to transform us and help us to live according to what God would have for each one of us. Now, I want you to show the some of these how-tos, how to do that, right? First, he says in verse 3, for I say to you, by the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt with him. In other words, if we're going to live sacrificially, I've got to think less of self and more on others and him. I got to think about less about my rights and my demands and me, and look for opportunities to serve just like our Savior did. He wasn't about all himself. He made himself the lowest of lows to come and to serve all of mankind. And that's the model that he gives to us. And so that's why he shares for us not to think more highly than ourselves also. Secondly, to recognize your role in the body. He says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, so in Christ, Though many, we form one body, and each member belongs to one another. And so in this living sacrificially, that also means I give up for the betterment of the group, that I have to work in harmony with the group, that we're a unit, and you're a cog in the wheel just like I am. And we're operating in order to function as one body in harmony one with another. See, right after the service, and I'm going to have to apologize to you right now, right afterward, Cedric and I have to leave right afterward because we have a show coming on. And there's in the theater where we are, we have to work in harmony with one another. And when we're not, it's visible. I made some mistakes. So has Cedric. All right, anyway. But if on stage I go to a place where I wasn't supposed to do and say a line, it's going to mess up someone else. You see what I'm saying? But if we're working in harmony with one another, everything works out wonderful. That was my way of letting y'all know I ain't going to be able to see and talk to you afterwards. So, hey. Amen, amen. And then, use your gifts faithfully. All right, because we have the different gifts, it ain't no use having them and not using them. What it's not going to help the body. You know, I love the fact that there's so much diversity and so many skills and so many things. And you know, and what I like to do is listen when I'm in I need a carpenter. I want to know who can do a little bit of work. Right, I started looking around, like, who are my brothers and sisters that can do that kind of work? Because I want to utilize them. I want to utilize their gifts and their talents and all of that. And people call on me for the same thing, right? You call on me when you need a certain thing because of my specific giftings. We all have different giftings. I'm going to say that again. We all have different giftings. Sometimes you go, well, I'm not gifted like that, so I don't have anything. Baloney. What God wants to do is the gift you have, use it. I saw on the board a quilting club or something like that that's getting ready to happen. All right. I won't be a part of it. I'm going to just tell you right now. Not my gift. But there's somebody in here that went, what? Quilting? Either I love doing it or I always wanted to learn how to do it, right? Is there anybody here like that? All right. Okay, there's a few. All right, I thought so. All right. So what works for you doesn't always work for me, but I'm gonna say this. But that's a blessing to the body as a whole. Because even though it's not something I like, it's going to benefit and bless other people, you know. And sometimes this is what happens a lot of times. And when we get in the church, we don't see the big picture of how it affects the whole body. Sometimes what we do is we look and see, this is my little section. This is my little piece of ministry or my little piece of the pie. And I'm just focused right here. And I stay right there. And you know, in all of that. So anyway, I'm starting the middle, so I'm coming back to the message. I am starting the middle. But we need to use our gifts in a way that brings harmony to the whole body. And when we're not, it shows. It shows and it slows things down. Use your gifts faithfully. All right, I'm gonna have to speed through these because I already see I'm gonna be on these forever. Love sincerely. Love sincerely. Hate evil, cling to what is good, show genuine love one to another in relations, and be devoted one to another, maintaining that spiritual zeal that we have. You know, you got to continue to stay energized. The work that God has given to us is hard work. It's hard work. You got to have a little thick skin to work in ministry and to share with others and to love people, because sometimes when you're loving people, people don't know how to receive. People look at you with, are you trying to hurt me? You know, based upon different experiences they've had. And so with skepticism and all of that. And so we need to continue doing that. Don't be lacking in zeal. Continue in that spiritual fervor. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Continue. Amen. Let's go back to and finish this up here. It's not moving the way I thought, but hopefully I'm hitting some key areas and all of that. He comes to this verse, and I know it's not separate and apart, but I think it gives a good summary of really a lot of stuff he's really talking about here. First of all, rejoice in hope. Listen, when you don't see any type of hope, you give up. The Olympics I think they're concluding. They're still going on, but they're in their latter stages. And think about the many people who had their minds set on winning gold or replacing and all of that. And I'm going to just tell you the truth. As great as Olympics are, most of those people that entered didn't win. They didn't win. There are some that entered the games with expectations and high hopes and all of that. And because of something, that those hopes were dashed. And it's over. Right? And that was for an event, a one-time event, and it's over. And some of them, they'll never get a crack at it again. They'll never get a chance to participate in that again. Thankfully, that's not our case. But what kept them motivated? What kept them in the gym? What kept them to a strict diet? What kept them to all of that was the hope. The hope of winning and seeing their name in those lights and first, second, or third, and preferably first, I'm sure. But the hope of that continued to carry them to get up and to sacrifice and do all that. And yet there was only a few winners. The hope of heaven should be the very thing that is calling us and engaging us to continue living and serving God so that we might be able to hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in few things. I make you ruler over many." That's what our challenge. That's our hope. Our hope is to hear our name called. And the beautiful thing is, there isn't just three winners. All of us can wear that crown. All of us can get to the finish line and hear our name called in our arms, raised high and welcomed into his heavenly abode. All of us can experience that. But we rejoice in this hope. We rejoice. We're looking forward to something greater that is coming. And I want you to understand this now, that when they, how do I put this? It hurt to sacrifice. The glory they receive is so great and so wonderful. Why? Because of all the work that was put in. Because of the obstacles you had to encounter, because of the things that you had to adapt to, even when you got there, you had your game plan. Like Mike Tyson said, everyone has a game plan until they get punched in the face. You had your game plan, and then you had to adjust, and then you had to do all the things, but yet you came out victorious at the end of it, and at the end, you can look back and go, man, it was all well worth it. It's like the mother that had the child, and after the 8 months, you know, all of a sudden the baby's in her arms and she's not worried about the pains that she had anymore. She's not worried about anything anymore. That cry of that baby, man, it ain't no more pain. All the toil and suffering you went through, now it's joy. It's immense joy as you hear that baby crying in your arms. And just minutes ago, they were like push and excruciating pain. And now that quickly it's gone. And that's how it is with the Lord. We're rejoicing in hope, but even as we're rejoicing in hope, sometimes we're going through the struggle in anticipation of what's to come. And then it goes with patience and affliction. Enduring And isn't this the toughest lesson to learn sometimes? Enduring pain. Because, I mean, I don't know about you. Give me just a little cold. You give me just a little, right, hon? You give me a little cold, and I'm like a little baby. Can you give me some coffee? I mean, some tea or help me. I'm a miserable person on the couch and all of that. And we don't like pain, and especially enduring pain. Like, when's it gonna stop? I don't know. Why can't the doctor give me the fix? I don't know. I keep going. They say they're running tests and all that. I don't know. Some things, like Paul, you have to endure. And yet, I'm gonna close out quick. It's starting to get hot in here, and I see everybody. I got a lot more to say though, but we gonna. You endure with faith. Enduring, rather patient in this affliction, you're enduring the pain. Why? How can you? Why should you? Right? Well, because as we look at James 1, 2, and 4, God, there's a process going on sometimes that we're not really understanding. It says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In other words, it's saying that even as you're going through that painful process, it is a process. It's a refining process that is going on at the moment. And we can never really understand and appreciate the refining process when you're in the middle of it, because it hurts. But what does it say? Let it go. Continue to endure. There's a process. There's something going on. The diamond doesn't jump out in the middle and go, come on, I'm out of all this pressure and this heat and all this stuff that's making and forming me into what is going to make me the most valuable. Right? If it doesn't complete the process, it's not valuable. But on the back end, Lord, give me one of those 10 carat. Hello. All right. Peace, thank you, bro. And then lastly, faithful in prayer. Prayer strengthens our faith with God. It realigns our perspective. It helps us. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but there are sometimes I get down with on my knees with so much uncertainty, things are just foggy. And just having the time of prayer. I mean, I'm not saying I hear, whoo, the heavens open up and you need to go. No, I don't hear all that. All right. But like, few things happen in prayer. Sometimes it's just, you ever just talk to somebody and it's just good to talk to somebody and get it out? I just need to talk to somebody and let them know. You get that same release with the Lord, if not greater. Should be greater. Because see, I get, you know, I call Jack up. Jack, I need to talk, brother. You know, can you just listen for a little while and all of that? And then Jack goes, yeah, brother, I'm going to pray for you, right? And I believe if Jack said you're going to pray for me, you're going to pray for me, right? So thank you. That felt good. That felt great. But what's Jack going to do? He's going to pray for me. Amen. But when I go to the Lord, to me it feels different, because I'm talking directly to God. I'm talking directly, not just to God. I'm talking directly to God that can fix it, that has all power. That whatever problem I'm presenting to him, first of all, he already knows it. He has a solution for it. He's working on my behalf for my good toward it. So God is never going to be working, you know, and using these things for my evil. So if I trust in his plan, if I trust that even if I'm going through this and it's hurting me, that there's a process that he's trying to take me through, I can trust the process. Why can I? Well, hold on. I can trust the process because first I can trust the person of Jesus Christ, right? I mean, he's come to give us out this land, and so he gives it to us, and he's never been unfaithful to us. Even in moments, he told his disciples when he gave them the Great Commission, what was the very last thing he told them? Lo, I am with you. How often? Always. Even until the end of the world. I don't know about y'all, but the end of the world has not come yet. I don't think so. Unless we're in a new reality that we don't know about. All right? He's promising his disciples he'll be with them to the very end. I think Jesus knew that at some point in that first century they were going to die. So I wonder if he's talking to all of us and letting us know to the very end of time, I'm with my people, right? That means as you're going through your crisis, where's this picture at? As you're out there all alone in your crisis, he's there. As the storms are beating upon you, he's there. As you can't see past the horizon and what's out there, and he's there. He was there when you got there. He'll be there when you leave. He's there. He's God. And so as you're going through your trials, it hurts. It sucks. I don't like it. I don't like pain. I don't like going through the trials. I don't like the persecution. I don't like the troubles. I like peace in my life. I like peace in my heart. I like peace. And yet we're in a broken, fallen world. And sin is the culprit of all this. I know sometimes we'll shake our fists at God, but these are the results of a sinful world. And the only redemption is found in him. Don't run away from him because of the problems. Run to your shelter in the time of storm. It's easy sometimes to run and to question. I mean, and questions are no problem. The Bible is filled with questions, especially questions of people that went through problems. You look at Job. Job had questions. You look at the Psalms. The Psalms are full of questions. Why, God? Why would you allow this? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? But even though we don't get the answers all the time, one thing that is certain is that God is faithful to his. And his people couldn't always see what he was doing, but he was always working out in the best interest of his people. And if you claim to be his, whatever storm you're going through right now, you see that little piece of ground right there? Who you think is holding you up? That's him. In the midst of the storm, he's still here. And here's something that I learned about storms. Storms come. They wreak a whole lot of havoc. But storms also go. I don't know how long they linger, but I know one thing. I've gone through many of them, and there are very few that are still the same right now, with me right now. They come and they go, and guess what? I just prepare for the next one. But guess what? I'm founded. My shelter in the time of storm, my solid rock does not change. I have unshakable faith, and I want you to have unshakable faith. Unshakable faith don't mean that we're super powerful people that understand the Bible and all that. No, I trust God, not the circumstances. I trust him when it hurts. That's unshakable faith. I trust him when I don't know what is going on. That's unshakable faith. And I know there are many of you that have gone through some things and carry that same unshakable faith. And I want to encourage you to keep it, to hold on to it, and to continue, just like the scripture says, to continue standing firm in hope, patient, and in prayer always. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us, Lord. Help us to stay strong in you. And help us as we recognize the storms that this life presents to us and its many, many challenges. Oftentimes, these storms being used even by the enemy to try to pull us back into his grips. But help us, Lord, as that song says, to never be moved. Though all hell assail me, Lord, I shall not be moved. Help us to have that unshakable faith, to recognize Jesus as a shelter in our time of storm. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, your mercy. Bless, guide, protect, watch over, and keep us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.